bless you. Thank you for your generous participation in the offering this morning. Trust that God will richly bless you as you sow in faith into His kingdom. Amen. Kan almal hoor vir oggend? Excellent. Put up your hand if you can't hear. How did you put your hand up then? Hoe werk dit dan? Halleluja. Daar's gesê, jy gaan geleentheid gegeen word om petrol in te gooi. Maar dis mos te Nysville, man. Dis mos net hierso. If you don't have enough petrol to get to the Nysville, you probably don't have enough petrol to get home. So, yeah, just make sure that you put in motion lotion before we rock and roll out to the Nysville this morning. Hallelujah. Well, if you're used to fellowshipping with us, you probably notice that we hand out these... just let me get my ducks in a row, yeah? That's it. That's my end in a row. We hand out these newsletters, or whatever, in a kerk blaaikie, every Sunday, and usually there's a title there, isn't it? How many of you have noticed that before? Have you noticed that before? Okay. How many of you have noticed that this morning there's no title? Yeah, that's just a name. Don't worry about him. He's not really important. But there's a blank space. There's a blank space. There's a blank space. And one of the things that you can put in a blank space is a crazy. Aha. Any idea what we're going to be speaking about this morning? So, Dim says you're going to vote for Mazidal Bench. Please don't. Please don't. Folks, we're going to be speaking this morning about the upcoming elections. Wie van julle weet dat Woensdag gaan jy geleentheid gegeen word om jou sê te sê? I see there's this advertising campaign marked ek sê. How's it? Ek sê. It's only in South Africa you can say ek sê. En die mense het 'n X gesit en 'n sê. Jy kan geleentheid kry om jou merkie daarso te sit. Nou ek weet sommige mense het hulle in hulle minds al klaar afgeskakel en sê okay, yes, ek is so jammer ek het na hierdie kerk toe gekom vanoggend. Kan na 'n ander kerk toe gegaan het waar hulle ten minste oor Jesus gaan praat en nie oor die politiek. Because ons moet niks met politiek uit te waai nie. Well, I want to tell you, you're not going to find a scripture in the Bible that says, thou shalt get involved in politics. But there's a bigger example. The life of Jesus. He rubbed shoulders with the lawmakers of the day regularly. He was in their face. Have you noticed the life of Jesus? He rubbed shoulders with the lawmakers of the day on a regular basis. In fact, the lawmakers wanted to see Jesus. So I want to start off by saying that we have a Christian responsibility om ons sê te sê. If you don't, you have no right to complain about anything because you didn't make a positive contributory role in bringing about a positive change in this nation. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the ability to change this country lays in the hands of the living God. And you say amen. But guess what? Who's He called to make that change? How many times do people say, when are they going to do something about it? When are they going to do? When are they? You know, heaven is waiting for the they, and we are the they. Within the confines of these walls, we are the they called to make a difference in this nation. Now, I realize it's not exciting kind of preaching where people want to throw money at you, but the truth needs to be heard. Can I hear an amen? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, you can die voters guide opposite to belief. I deliberately didn't give the sound guys the scriptures this morning, because what I want to be up all the time is the following. Reg deur die hele preek, daai ding moet op wees. But I want you to listen to the scriptures that I'm going to share with you. In Matthew 5, 13 to 16, Jesus makes some bold statements. He's finished the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, describing a person who's blessed, has these characteristics, and he goes through his list. And then he says, you are the salt of the earth. And it's nie net as jy Engels spreek, dit is die woord. It's nie net die souties nie. Dis die boere en die souties. Hallelujah. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus uses an example. It says that you are salt and you are light. Some of the things that salt does. it gets babies to pull funny faces when they're given things salty. It preserves food. It adds flavor to food. Salt does various things. So we're the salt of the earth. And if we lose our flavor, in other words, we have a role to change the flavor of life. We have a role to preserve. We have a role to add spice to life. We have a role to make a difference. If you're the salt of the earth. And how do we lose our flavor? Sitting back and doing nothing. Sitting back and saying, well, I have nothing to do with politics. We have a role to play as the salt of the earth. And then we have a role to play as the light. That song many years ago, This Little Light of Mine, it's a great song, but I believe the season for that song has come and gone. The time for that song has come and gone because, guys, we need a great light in this day and age, not just a little light. We need a great light to make a difference. God has called us to be light in the darkness, not light in the light. And if our lights are so dim, when the pressure comes on and life gets tough, you just like, you know, you tap on a tortoise shell. What does it do? Like, koppie gaan maar net in. They track maar net in. And you think, well, I'm burying my head in the ground. So if I can't see what's going on, they can't see me. I can't see them, so they can't see me. Everything's okay. It's not like that, folks. We have a responsibility to make a difference in this day and age. Christian responsibility, a biblical obligation to make a difference in this day and age. And he says, the light is not meant to be put under a lampstand or under a bed. It's meant to be brought out to make a difference, that it can be seen. Can you say amen? That's the responsibility that we have as Christians. We're called to make a difference. You might ask yourself, well, what difference is my vote going to make anyway? Because the party that I vote for is so small, they don't even have enough seats in Parliament to make a difference. Well, I want to tell you, in the natural and as the physical eye can see, that's very probable in many cases, depending on who you vote for. It's probable that your vote, what you think practically, might not make a visible difference. But the Bible says the following. I say, the Bible says the following. And I love the way Jesus said it to Satan. So Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted of the devil. And the devil comes and he says, the Word of God says this. And the devil quoted Scripture. He spoke the Word of God to the Word of God. Hello? And Jesus simply says, it is written. It is written. That's enough authority. So this morning, I'm saying to the devil, to the principalities and powers, to the naysayers in this nation, the negative people that say South Africa is going to be like whatever and is going down the drag, and to all the naysayers, I say this morning, on behalf of God Almighty, it is written. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. That means, the Scripture also goes on to say, none of your labor in the Lord is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 58. 1 Corinthians 15, it's there. None of your labor in the Lord is in vain. So what you do as unto the Lord counts in the spiritual realm, ladies and gentlemen. Your vote, when you make a decision with your blank space where you put your X, makes a decision. God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Met ander woorde, hy sê dan, I'm paraphrasing, jy kan my dan nie bluff nie. Jy kan yourself bluff, jy kan die mense om jou bluff, but you can't bluff me. I see and I know everything. I see and I know everything. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says that. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Edmund Burke made this statement. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Ja, vat die dag af as jy wil. Nooi mense oor en braai. Mow the lawn, wash the dogs, clean the windows, spring clean, do something on that day. But as God made little apples, make sure that you make a difference as salt of the earth and light in the world. Because whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. If you reap indifference, what are you going to sow? No. If you sow indifference, what are you going to reap? We can't just do that, ladies and gentlemen. We have a Christian responsibility. So you ask, well, what difference is my vote going to make? Well, in the eyes of God, it counts much. It counts plenty. It is going to make a difference. Can you say amen? All right. You say, well, who do we vote for? Well, I'm going to, yeah, this should give you some ideas as to who to vote for. When I get the laser pointed in the right direction, in case you can't read, I'm going to read it for you. On the top are the badges or whatever, the emblems or the slogans or the logos of not all, but the, some of the of the political parties who have significant X says in Parliament. From left to right, it's the ACDP, ANC, CAPE, CDP, DA, EFF, Vryheidsfront, and the IFP. VF and the IFP. And down on this side here, it's got biblical principles. Now, this biblical issues voters guide, if you want this to put on your phone or to tell other people, to share with other people, if you Google it, look for it under images, and we'll come up with this here. I didn't find it on this www.savotersguides.org, but it's possibly because I didn't look long and hard enough. But it is there. If you Google this picture, it will come up. If you Google images, it says here, the acknowledgement of Almighty God in the constitution of the party. It's the constitution of the party. Met ander woorde, dit waar hulle gesit het, in swart en wit. What do they believe in? And across there, it gives you whether they've got that included in the constitution. Now, Jesus says this, I believe it's Matthew 10:32. If anyone denies me, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. But if anybody acknowledges me, I'll acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. So I say done for you, what does it say about a party when in their constitution it denies Almighty God? Very interesting, isn't it? Moving right along. The next point is against abortion. Now, I don't know what your stand is on this, but if a single cell amoeba or a hydra was found on Mars, it would be considered what? Life. But yeah, you have a developing fetus in the womb of a human being and they destroy it in the name of freedom of choice. You know what God calls it? Murder. It is murder. It is murder. That's it. And we're not judging anybody or hating anybody. If you've gone through that experience, we love you, we pray for you. But in God's eyes, it is murder. Period. Against abortion, there it gives you scripture references for every single one of these and what the party's policy is on that particular issue. Are you learning something this morning, church? The next point is education. Parent-controlled and for freedom and for religious freedom. Now, here's the interesting thing. Oftentimes, parents have children that are wild at home and they're wanting to know what are the schools and the teachers doing about it. Well, the thing is, the most formative years of a child are spent with its parents, or should be, in ideal circumstances. Sometimes, it's not like that. But the parents have the role and the responsibility to educate the children in the formative years of the child's life, when it instills values and principles and good moral ethics in the life of a child, so that the child already has it by the time the child goes to school. Can somebody say amen? Can the parents give me a loud amen this morning? Now, here's the challenge. Every single, when children do well at school, die pa sê, yes, dis my seun daai. Ek is so trots op hom. Jekko presteer hy. En wanneer hy kind droog maak, dan sê vir die moeder, kyk wat maak jou kind. Look what your child is up to. Isn't he so neat? We just disown everything. Well, here's the challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Men, are you listening this morning? Men, are you listening this morning? Every single parenting instruction in the Bible is given to the father. There's not a single parenting instruction given to the mothers, because the fathers have a role to play in raising the children. En nie net wag tot jou pa huis toe kom vanmiddag, dan gaan jy 'n ding sien en dish out the slaps. Yes, that is a role. And folks, parents, how do you discipline your children? Not fivefold ministry, né? Hands are for blessing. You use a stok or a slipper or a stun gun or mace or something. You do it. But you don't use fivefold ministry. Hands are for blessing. And you don't wait until there's a quick point where you just want to don't break it. You don't do that. So, look what the party's values are concerning education, whether it's parent or state. Very, very interesting stuff. I think some of you people, if you cannot read this, folks, I encourage you to get this on your phone for yourself that you can see. And when you look at this, please do not look at it with political glasses on. Is that okay? Please do not look at it with political glasses on. Exercise the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Philippians 2:5 says we have the mind of Christ. Exercise it. Use it. Look at it through God's perspective. Say, Lord, you've placed me. Is it the fact that you're living in South Africa here and now in this day and age at this time, did it catch God by surprise? He's like, oops, you came out on your birthday. Whoa, and you were supposed to be born in Timbuktu, but you're born in South Africa. Did it catch God by surprise? No. The scripture says our times and our boundaries are pre-appointed by God. God knew that we, you, every one of us would be alive here and now in South Africa under this political climate here and now. The church of Jesus Christ is the church that he's chosen to make this difference, ladies and gentlemen. There are five judgments spoken of in the scripture, and one of them is the judgment of nations. When we as a Christian nation stand before God, what are we as the church of Jesus Christ going to say? Well, Lord, I have nothing to do with politics because of this and that and that. I don't know. I think maybe there's going to be pieces of jewelry and gemstones that are going to be out of your crown and missing there with a big open space. Because we didn't fulfill our Christian role and responsibility. Are you glad you came to church this morning? Okay. Then, for free market, against socialism. There's scripture reference here. I love this one. Exodus 20, verse 15 to 17 says, you shall not steal, nor shall you covet your neighbor's goods. And it gives the party policies on everyone. Now, what's interesting about this, it's not a trick question. It's not doing to kill you here, kill you there. You'll see there's certain parties that have every single scriptural principle ticked, included in their constitution. This one, for capital punishments against murderers. There it is. Say, well, bring back the death sentence, or the death sentence is of the Lord or not of the Lord. Well, you just go and read what the Bible says. Here's simply when I was still a detective, and I was, you know, I obviously lived the Christian lifestyle, and it was evident. And I was asked, you know, but as a Christian, you know, how can you carry a gun and this and stuff like that? And I simply said, well, I shared what the scripture says about that, and I'm not going to do that now for the sake of time. But it's simple. If a person chooses not to conform to the norms of a God-fearing society, they must be removed from that God-fearing society. That's simple, isn't it? When we studied law, the most perfect and complete and whole and perfectly balanced law that has ever been practiced or given to man is the Ten Commandments. It's simple. You do that and everything's taken care of. The first four are concerning our relationship with God, and the other six are concerning our relationship with men. Do that and you'll be cool. Just do that. And then you decide whether the death sentence is scriptural or not. But remove a person from society if they choose not to be conformed to the norms of society. Pro self-defense, firearm ownership. The scripture says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. You look in the history of countries where they've disarmed their citizens, what happens? Okay. And Jesus says, he warned his disciples, there's coming a time when I'm not going to be with you. And I'm sending you out like lambs amongst the wolves. If you do not have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. When Jesus appeared to Joshua, he appeared with a sword in his hand because they didn't have automatic weapons in those days. So he had a sword. I believe if he appeared to Joshua as the captain of the army of the Lord, what do you think he would have stood there with? Like waving a little palm tree, like, yay, peace, the captain of the army of the Lord, woohoo! No. Now, I'm not saying go and shoot anything and everything, but you have a right to defend your loved ones. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Then, opposes homosexual marriage. You can clearly see. Here's the thing. We're not against anything as the church. We're for Jesus. I say that again. We're not against it. I'm not against this and I'm against that. We're for Jesus and everything, all the values and principles that he stood for. Can you say amen? That's what the church is for. That's what the church is for. All right. So there it gives you the scriptural reference for that and what the party policies are. And then opposes discrimination based on race or affirmative action. And there it gives a scripture reference for that and the party policies on each one of those. So I trust that has given you, you now, you see, if you came to church this morning, You now no longer have an excuse to say, well, ek het nie geweet nie. Nou weet jy. Nou weet jy. And we're responsible for that which we know. We're responsible for that which we know. Can you say amen? All right. So, who do we vote for? What do we vote for? Exodus 18 and 21. Exodus 18 and 21 says, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. How many of you have been stopped by one of those officers that want to issue you a performance award? A performance award to prove how fast your car or your bike goes. You've been issued by one of them. And the OC says, hey, cool drink. But haven't you noticed how the price of cool drink has gone up and up and up and up and up? Cool drink just gets more and more expensive. A cool drink has gone from like $5, $10 into a couple of hundred rand for cool drink. Well, yes. Now, don't put up your hand. How many of you have been given an opportunity to bribe the officer and you just bribe the officer? Well, maybe, well, think, I've never done that, Mozzie. Okay. Well, maybe it's to get something from a licensing department quicker or sooner, or something from Home Affairs quicker or sooner. Do you know that you have participated in that as well? It's just as bad as the person receiving the bribe as the person giving the bribe. That's the scriptural principle. I'm just the messenger this morning. Don't you love me? Hallelujah. Don't you love me? So it says, yeah, I love the way the scripture says it. This is from the New Living Translation. Honest men who fear God and hate bribes, appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Appoint those. So that's the kind of leaders you should be looking for. Capable, honest men. And oftentimes, in sincerity, in the bottom of their hearts, I understand Christians are praying for a Christian leader. I don't necessarily want a Christian leader, because God used ungodly people in the past to govern and lead his people. I want somebody who knows how to run a country. Somebody who has an anointing from God to run a country. What does it help to have a Christian leader that can pray and intercede and do all things, but the person doesn't have a cooking clue how to lead a country because God hasn't enabled that person to do so? It would be fantastic if we could have a Christian leader that is able to run the country, wouldn't it? It would be absolutely fantastic. I wonder then, let's just skip forward to a certain place on God's timetable and God's agenda. When we're experiencing the land flowing with milk and honey and everything's wonderful again, and the sun is bright, and I'm not talking about one day in heaven, I'm talking about here and now. I wonder, how full will the churches be then? Or will there be more family activities and sporting events on Sundays when people would normally be in church? But isn't it interesting how churches are fuller when times are tougher? Churches are fuller when times are harder. But when it's going lekker, vasty kerk. Over some of the most significant Christian holidays on our calendar, where do you find a lot of Christians? Lekker by die see. And then when the heathens and the atheists and the non-Christians in Parliament want to cancel those Christian holidays, all the Christians are woo, woo. And then they turn around and say, well, how come the beaches are so full of Christians? On those Christian, if that Christian holiday is so significant for you. Interesting, hey? Phew, we have a big responsibility as the church. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a responsibility as the church. We are called to be stewards of that which we have and been entrusted. We're stewards of everything. A steward is somebody who looks after something on behalf of another. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 2 says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. That we be found faithful. We're entrusted with this nation. We're entrusted with these people. Yes, I shared last week, I made myself vulnerable, open and honest. And I said, there are times where I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like preaching and stuff like that. And sometimes I don't feel like being entrusted with the people that we've got in South Africa. A person said, when you look at people, you can understand why Noah took more animals on the ark than he did people. Probably get along with the animals, it's a better gedraad as die mense. You know, but folks, that's just, guess what? Some people think of us in the same way. I think sometimes when I'm at my worst, imagine what, I know God always has unconditional love towards us, but I mean, if he wanted to, he could write each and every single one of us off. Because he'll find something against us. Can you say amen? But he doesn't. So we've been given this responsibility as stewards of that which God has entrusted to us. Here's the deal. My encouragement to you this morning is the following. Okay? Now my mind has probably gone down the road that your mind has gone down many, many times over. So where do you put that cross? What do I do, Lord? What about the significance of the amount of seats in Parliament? In fact, before I preached this morning, I had just a brief, I didn't have a discussion, I listened to Madeleine share her heart on this particular issue. But the significance of your vote and the amount of seats, because we don't have enough seats, we won't have a say in Parliament. I understand all of that, and I realize all of that. But my encouragement to you is the following. And this is from a pastor, a child of God to another child of God, is the following. Is that okay this morning, church? My encouragement to you is to vote with your Christian conscience and values and trust God to take care of what happens with the seating in Parliament. That's it. That's what I'm going to be held accountable before God one day. Vote with your Christian conscience and values and trust God to take care of the seating in Parliament. Because we do not have the power to do that, ladies and gentlemen. God does. God does. And then I want to look at we have a responsibility to pray for people in authority. I want to look at the people in authority, and then I want to look at authority for a couple of minutes. We have a responsibility to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, I encourage you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. That covers the full spectrum of prayer and intercession, folks. Prayers, intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Yo, Mozzie. You know what the Bible's saying? That I've got to pray for you know who. Well, I didn't write it. These are the words of God. These are the words of God. He says, I exhort you. Why? Whose benefit is it for? That prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2. That we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, to pray for those who are in authority. Now here's the deal. That includes God-fearing people, it includes non-God-fearing people, it includes anybody who is in a position of authority. Because here's the deal. That level of authority is a big, big, big responsibility. When it comes to authority, this is the challenging thing that we see in Scripture. The authority might not be exercised in a godly way, but that platform of authority is most definitely from God. There's a big difference, ladies and gentlemen. The authority might not be exercised in a godly way, but that platform of authority comes from God and none other. None other. John the Baptist said, a man has nothing except such as been given to him from above. Romans 13 and verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. Which authority? No authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. How many of you wish that verse wasn't in the Bible? Romans 13 and verse 1. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now if you look at the history of God's people in the Scripture, how God allowed ungodly, cruel people to come up to teach his people something. So I ask you, is it possible that the Church of Jesus Christ we're being tutored? We're being taught, we're being steered in a certain direction by the power and authority that's in government today? Is it possible? Is it possible? The Scripture says that authority comes from God. No authority exists unless it comes from God. So we have a responsibility to pray for these people. Some of the things that you might pray, you can consider praying this. That's up to you as the Spirit of the Lord leads. But I pray Psalm 109 and verse 8. That's what I pray. Psalm 109 verse 8 says, let his days be few and let another take his office. I'm just saying. Moving right along. At Psalm 109, verse 8, you got that? Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Some might interpret and say, yeah, let his days be few, mean that his life is short, but you take it in the context of how you want to. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. So folks, we've got a responsibility to pray. We've got a responsibility to pray. I want to tell you now, there's not a single person, born again, spirit-filled Christian, a child of God who loves God, who has not been ushered into the kingdom of God other than on the prayers and intercession of another. You got where you are today if you're born again on the prayers of other people praying for you when you were a muhu living for the devil. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You think, well, there was nobody praying for me? Well, how about Jesus? Hebrews 7:25 says, he's able to save to the uttermost them to come, those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Since the time he ascended, Jesus has been interceding in the ear of God for you and me. There's not one born-again person who didn't get where they are, not being based on the prayers and intercession of others. And we want to come and say, in our self-righteousness, say, ach, honey, for die. But deep and deep. Deep. We got where we are because somebody was praying for us, ladies and gentlemen. How dare we come before God in pharisaical self-righteousness? Say, I'm not going to pray for so-and-so. Really? Okay. Yeah. It's your prerogative. We have this responsibility. We need to be, when the Lord laid this on my heart, I'm like, Lord, forgive me. I've got to stand up and I've got to tell this to your people and I'm not practicing this in my life. Lord, forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. We must be very careful what we say. I want to say, Mozzie, be very careful what you say. You say, well, I don't say it publicly, but in your heart and in your mind you say it. Or maybe you say it to your spouse. Or when you see so-and-so come on TV. Or you see, I'm riding on my bike and I'm driving in my bucky or whatever. And I see the placards on the lamp poles. And I imagine certain placards all over the country all at once. Just succumbing to spontaneous combustion. Just catching a light. Burning. I imagine, I promise you. Imagine those placards just burning. Where's the Christian love in there? And I want to stand up on a Sunday and preach to God's people. I tell you, if I was this much more of a man of God, when I drive through those lampposts, drive past those lampposts and I see the picture, I say, Lord, save him from hell and harm before Satan steals his life in Jesus' name. Be as gracious to him, Lord, as you have been to me. That's what a man of God would do. That's what a man of God would do. And I imagine those posters just catching a light. Lekker lach daaroor, nee. I wonder what God thinks. And I'm going to stand up and talk to his people. Yes, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on my soul. So, we need to be careful what we say. Exodus 22 and verse 28. Exodus 22 and verse 28. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Ouch. You shall not revile God or curse a ruler of your people. Before we get ready to pray and worship the Lord one more time and get on our scooters and do what God has called us to do at CMA this morning, I want to close with this final thought. We share this example so often and it's so true that we want change to take place where you're standing, where you're seated, your life, all that's important to you, draw a circle around it. And when change takes place on the inside of that circle, change will start to take place on the outside of that circle. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. There you go. Is it 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, what did he know? Is it 2 Chronicles 14:7 or 2 Chronicles 7:14? 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 says the following. If my people, those of you who consider yourself as God's people this morning, can I hear you shout, Amen. Amen. If my people who are called by my name Christ Jesus, Christ, Christian. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I don't know about you folks, but having said all of that and seeing all of this, that brings me to the point where I want to humble myself before God this morning. I encourage you to do so. We're going to do so. Pray together as a church. I want to come before God and say, Lord, I'm humble before you because I realize that I don't make the grade, Lord. I'm filled with myself and unrighteousness, and I'm in need of mercy and grace just as much as the next person. And I pray and seek God's face and turn from my wickedness that's in my heart. Then you will hear. You'll hear from heaven and you will heal this land. My encouragement to you as a voter this coming Wednesday, vote with your Christian conscience and values and trust God to take care of the seating arrangement in Parliament. Is it okay this morning if we close off by praying together as a church? If we humble ourselves, if we seek God's face, if we turn from our wicked ways and let God hear our prayers and heal this nation. Is that okay this morning, church? Let's pray together. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we have such an awesome responsibility as the salt of the earth and the light of this world to be salt shakers, Lord God, and to be light bearers. We have a responsibility to make a difference, Lord. We have a responsibility to play our role in building your kingdom. Not our kingdoms, not our cultures, but your kingdom, Lord God, in the hearts of people. We have a responsibility to make a difference in this nation with the good news of the message of Jesus Christ, with the good news of the gospel that God loved us so that he sent his son Jesus to die in our place so that whoever believes in him would live forever but not die. That's the good news. The good news that there's a God who paid the price to forgive us of all our sins. The good news that there's a God who has a future to prosper us, of a future filled with good things, full of hope. That's the good news. We have this responsibility. This morning, God, we realize the critical era and time that we are in here and now. What is one day going to be said of this generation of your church, Lord? What kind of a legacy and an example are we leaving to our children and our children's children? What kind of building stones and what kind of a foundation are we laying for the church of tomorrow, the church that has been built? What are we doing, Lord God, as stewards of what we have here and now? God, it's in fear and trembling that we come before your mighty, mighty throne. You're not iemand daarboor, die groot baas daarboor. You are God Almighty, the great I am. The God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same miracle working God that we read of in the Bible and know of so well, Lord God, according to your scriptures. It's you we come to this morning. We approach your throne of grace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, the one who intercedes for us. And Jesus, we love you, we worship you. And as you have been interceding for the Father ever since ascension, for us, Lord, you've been interceding to the Father for us, Lord God. We want to, it's our turn now, Lord God, to intercede for this nation. Father, first and foremost, before we pray for the world, we pray for the church, we pray for ourselves. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you come upon your church, that you touch your church. Those who are involved in parliament and politics, would you anoint them with supernatural wisdom and discernment? Those who are involved in government service industries, Lord God, would you anoint them too, Lord? Those who are involved in social well-being, Lord God, in welfare and other departments of government, in emergency services, Lord God, in education, Lord God. We pray your anointing upon your sons and daughters throughout this country, Lord. Those involved in the business sector, in the private sector, Lord God, would you equip them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus to make godly decisions and to be people of influence, Lord, that are salty people, Lord God. Salty people, Lord God, with the salt of the word and the light of the word. We pray, Lord God, that you anoint us, Lord God, to make decisions that please you on this coming election day, Father. Regardless of what the outcome is, Lord, this country is in your hands. The future of this nation is in your hands, Lord God. We pray for supernatural intervention in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we pray, Lord God, for those who are being led astray by the devil, those who are being led astray by men and women, Lord, who are hell-bent on destruction, whose careers are crime. Lord, we pray for those that have been led astray by these evil people. We pray for scales to come off blind eyes, for eyes to be opened, hearts to see and perceive, Lord God, the truth for what it is in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for uneducated people who are so easily led astray by wicked people. Father, we pray for the protection of the weak and the vulnerable, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the protection of the weak and the vulnerable, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you watch over them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord God, we call on the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, who is in us, who's greater than he that's in the world, Lord God. And we pray for a stirring in the Spirit, Lord God, that your church rises up in this nation at this time, in this hour now. In the name of Jesus, and we come against every principality and power, every spiritual host of wickedness, and every ruler of the forces of darkness in the heavenlies that want to bring South Africa to its knees, and we declare that God's will shall be done in this nation in the name of Jesus. We declare that every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray that every corrupt scheme that's happening behind doors and in darkness will be brought out into the light and will be exposed. That which is whispered in people's ears will be declared from the rooftops concerning the things of God. And we declare, Lord God, that righteousness shall prevail, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And crime and corruption and fear and intimidation will stop in the name of Jesus. And the flow of innocent blood will stop in the name of Jesus. And the blood of the saints, Lord God, that cried from the ground will be heard by you, Lord God, as you hear the prayer of us, your people, not because we've prayed, Lord God, but because you are faithful, you are just, you are fair, you are alive, Lord, and you will bring about a godly change in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. We trust you and we believe you for this, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you ask, we ask, Lord God, for ourselves, Father, that you forgive us. This morning we turn from our wicked ways. Lord God, I turn from our wicked ways. I turn from attitudes and mindsets in my heart and thoughts in my heart, Lord God, and words that have left my mouth, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, that has grieved you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I repent of speaking against people for whom you have died, Lord. People that you're praying to God, Lord Jesus, right now. I've spoken against people again, and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy upon my soul. And Lord, when I ask for grace, Lord God, may I be willing to give grace. When I ask for mercy, may I be willing to give mercy, Lord God. Lord, each one of us, I'm sure this morning we pray, Lord, change me. Change me. Lord, forgive your church. Forgive your church for misrepresenting you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, regardless of what the outcome is, we know that God is still God. That Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you, Lord God, are God over all. No matter what happens, Lord, you are God over all. And we thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We bless and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I want to thank you for coming to church this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Please feel free to join us on our breakfast run this morning through to the Naysville Motorcycle Museum. We're just going to speak to our biking friends and also feed our power holes. If you're not, travel safely, enjoy the rest of the day, and make sure vote with your Christian conscience and values. And let God take care of the seating arrangement in Parliament on Wednesday.